Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our Savior, and from God, our Creator. Amen. Well, today, since it's the last Sunday in the church year, I thought it'd be a good Sunday for us to talk together about the last day, namely the last day of this earth, the end, the finale, the final day, known in the Bible as the Day of the Lord, or as the Day of the Return of Christ. And what does God want us to know about the last day? What are we to expect? When should we expect it? Are you ready for that day? And how can we be ready for that day? And most especially, will that day, the last day, be a good day or a bad day? Let's talk about that today and see what Jesus and what God, our Creator and Lord, would teach us by His Word, through His Word, the Bible, the Scriptures. So, you with me? The last day. First thing I'd like to ask together with you about that is, will there actually be a last day? You know, a lot of people in the world don't believe that. They don't believe that there is an end coming to this world. And Peter predicted this, as did Jesus and the apostles. He says in 2 Peter 3, you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First, understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. So a lot of the world doesn't believe that there's a last day coming, right? There's going to be scoffers that don't believe that, which is kind of crazy if you think about the, by and large, scientific unbelieving community today. They'll acknowledge a first day. They would say there's a big bang, right? An explosion where nothing exploded and then created everything. So there's a first day, but they won't acknowledge a last day. They would say the same as Peter says here, that they look and say, yeah, well, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Everything's just going along as it will. It will remain forever. But Peter says, if we open back up there, he says, they deliberately, that is willfully or purposefully, ignore this fact, that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was flooded with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist, which we're living in right now, have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. So, here's the question I have for you. Is there a last day according to the Bible, according to Scripture? It is everywhere coursing through the Scriptures. The whole Bible is driving us to that final day called the Day of the Lord. And Jesus himself uses words like this. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at, say it, the last day. Thank you, Vivian and the rest of you. Good job. There's an end coming to this world, says God, says the Bible. Therefore, we need to ask next, when is this day to come? When are we to expect that day that's coming? Can you know the exact day or the hour? Right, that's right, Ernie. Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. It's coming like a thief in the night at an unexpected time. But can we know, basically or generally predict its proximity to us, how near it's drawing to us? The Bible says we can, because he gives us, that is God and Jesus, give us clues, signposts to look for. Like if you're driving to Cape Cod and you see Cape Cod and the Islands, next exit, you know you're near. If you see, you know, Albuquerque, you're not near. God's given us signs to look for in Scripture, and let's open up to Matthew 24. Jesus here in verse 3 and following, it says, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. That's right outside Jerusalem. The disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when this will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age? Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he, I am the Christ,' and they'll lead many astray. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes in various places. These are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation. You'll be put to death. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise, lead many astray. Because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved." So what are some of the signposts we're to look for? Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places, famines, things we see all the time, even these days, and in increasing numbers. But the one I'd like to focus on there is falling away. What does that mean? An apostasy, a great turning away from the faith, by and large, in the world, and in from the churches. Now, on Wednesday nights, we're going through the history of the church. Down from the Reformation on, we've been looking specifically at recently. If you look at the Lutherans, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, in former days, they all held, at least, to the basic principles of the Protestant Reformation. Scripture alone for all doctrine and truth. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Christ is the only way to heaven, and the moral teachings of God's word are to be what we are to live by. Well, what do you see in these days? Whew! It's going all over the place these days. These same denominations, many of them, are denying that there is a virgin birth of Christ, or that Christ is God in the flesh, or the physical resurrection of Christ on the third day, or that Scripture is God's true word. They don't believe that. They believe it's full of errors. They would also teach morally all kinds of things that are contrary to God's word, especially sexually, leading even teens into wrong directions. So there is to be a falling away in the church. Would you say Cape Cod and the Islands, next exit? Last day coming soon? Even this was predicted by Paul. He says in 2 Timothy 4, he says, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. But as for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So is there a falling away? Do you see? Where are the youths today? We got Jackson, praise God, and Naomi's here today, praise God, and hey, there you are. And says, where are the youths for the most part? Some are going to good churches and getting saved, but many are absent from the churches, and many have passed and gone into other directions. But there are the true, and Jesus says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So it's almost there, to the end of the world, to the ends of the earth. The gospel is being preached. Therefore, what can we say? It draws near speedily. It draws near quickly. And Jesus says, "Watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of your house will come, at evening, or at midnight, or cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." Which means be ready, be alert, be awake, be looking for it. Are you looking for it today? Answer amen.
Amen.
Hopefully you're awake. Hopefully we're keeping our eyes trained on this in a world that doesn't believe. What will happen on that last day? That day that's coming and drawing near speedily? What events will occur? Well, we go back to Matthew here. Let's read verses 29 to 31. Jesus proclaims, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, And they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth, from heaven to the other. Can you picture this? Do you believe? Do you see this coming? Are you ready for that day? What are we going to see again? The sun will be darkened. Could you imagine like an eclipse of the sun, but even more so, like when Jesus died and the sun was darkened for a time. All right, when he's on the cross, that is. And as for the stars, Revelation 6, John says, the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale, and they start to fall off the limbs. Then every mountain, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It says, the sky vanished like a scroll that's rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Can you picture that? I mean, it looks like the world will last forever, but it is about to be like your old clothes. Imagine working on a field as a farmer, and they get all dirty. And at the end of the day, you don't want to wear those forever, do you? You want to take them off, throw them into the hamper, so you can put on a new set of clothes after a bath. And that's what God's preparing. Going to throw away the present world as we know it. Its appearance. The sign of the Lord will appear in the sky on the last day. An archangel will blow his trumpet. Right? Just like you, Dick, there. Trumpet player. On the last day. Every eye will see Jesus on the last day. The present heavens and earth will vanish like smoke, dissolved by fire. We'll be put away like old clothes at the end of the day into a hamper, like a scroll that you just roll up on the last day. And Jesus is going to sit on his throne as king, and his angels to the four corners of the earth will gather the people to him. Great and small will stand before the throne, and books will be opened, and also the book of life. And the sea will give up the dead in it, death and Hades, the dead in them, and all will be judged by what they had done. So that's a day of judgment on the last day. Are you ready for that day? Are you looking forward to that day? It's a day when God says he will rise to destroy the destroyers of the earth, but also, Hebrews 9, to save those who are eagerly waiting for him, to give you a brand new world. Well, what do you think the world thinks of all this preaching today? What would they say to me? You're nuts, right? You're crazy. You're preaching like some old fire and brimstone preacher from ancient days. Well, that's good. I take that as a compliment, if it is. The world scoffs. Remember when Lot was leaving Sodom and God was about to send fire and brimstone from heaven? And he went to his sons-in-law saying, up, out of the city, quick, before the overthrow. But they thought he was jesting, joking, and they jeered at him. Same way today. Think of the world. It's not ready. Back in the early 1993, President Clinton at the time appointed a woman to be the head of investigating the AIDS epidemic, very prevalent at the time. And she stood on the White House lawn and said these words: the United States needs to view human sexuality as an essentially important and pleasurable thing. Until it does so, we'll continue to be a repressed Victorian society that misrepresents information and denies homosexuality, particularly in teens, and leaves people abandoned with nowhere to go. I can help just a little, but a bit in my job, standing on the White House lawn, talking about sex, with no lightning bolts falling on my head. Did you catch that last phrase? She doesn't believe in any lightning bolts coming for her brazen perspective. Well, the Bible says there are bolts of thunder that are coming. It's called the Day of Judgment on the last day. You've maybe seen that other, the comedian recently, I won't even say what she did, it's so gross, but Kathy Griffin, remember? And she, in 2007, got an Emmy Award, and she got up there to receive it, and she says, a lot of people stand up here and they thank Jesus for their award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit, and all I can say is, blank it, Jesus. This award is my God now. I ask you, is she ready? for that day that's coming of which we speak? She doesn't believe in any thunderbolts. And by and large, the world, the same. You can go from, you know, Hollywood actors to musicians to businessmen to athletes to shop owners to husbands to wives to children. They're not believing, and they're not ready, by and large, in the world. It's the same now, though, as it was then. There's no real difference. Paul stood up and proclaimed in Athens, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man he's appointed. And of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. Well, did they believe Paul when he preached? What did they do? Who knows the words? When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, they mocked him. They laughed at him. They jeered. They thought he was joking. They thought he was jesting when he spoke about that day. Well, he wasn't jesting. God isn't jesting, and I'm not jesting. But because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily by God, right here and now, the heart of men is fully set to do evil, says Ecclesiastes. And we see that. So how about the church? Is the church ready for this day, the last day? Some are, and some aren't. You know, there are those who are asleep, as we talked about, who are wandering from the faith. Pastors, even, especially. Bishops, who wear the clothing, the wool of a sheep, just to cover their bushy tails underneath. It's true. It's the same thing in the days of Amos. If you look in the Bible, God was speaking about the priests in the ancient days that desired the day of the Lord. Oh, may God's day come. But they were living in wickedness. And God said, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you desire the day of the Lord? For it's darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into his house and leaned with his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? When God comes to judge the earth, he says, put away your wickedness, and rather let justice roll down like rivers and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So are those within the church, are there those who are not ready for the day of the Lord? Who've fallen asleep, who don't have it before their eyes? Indeed, there are. But God says to us, you let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home at the end of a feast. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. If it be in the second or the third watch, even more blessed. Which watch are we in now, do you think? It's been 2,000 years. Would God count this as the third watch? The fourth? However many watches there are, I don't know. I got a watch right here, but that's not what I'm talking about. Which one are you? Are you awake or asleep? Are you ready? Are you not ready? Well, I think you are, but let's encourage each other in this. You know, Peggy, where are you, Peggy? There you are. Prayer hour this week, she said, you know, Pastor, I found the most important word in the whole Bible. I was like, really? You found the most important word in the Bible? Yes, I did. Well, what is it, Peggy? She said, it's the word here. I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. She says, it's the most important word, here. Listen. Listen to God's word. Because I'll tell you today, friends, there is a way of escape from the day of the Lord. You know him. His name is Jesus Christ. Hear, oh, that my people would hear and listen. For there is a word that can save you from the day of the Lord, says the Lord. And let's talk about that day right now. Will it be a good or a bad day, do you think? Yes, good answer, Dennis. Let's start with the bad day so we end on the high note. The badness of the day is for those who are not in Christ, because it depends upon where we are in our relationship to God. If we are in Christ and saved, or we're not in Christ and don't know him. Big difference between those two ways. Let's look at first if a person were not in Christ. And I'll look to Isaiah 13. It says, wail, for the day of the Lord is near, says Isaiah. As destruction from the Almighty it will come. All hands will be feeble, every man's heart melt and be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They'll look aghast at one another, their faces aflame, for the day of the Lord comes cruel with wrath and fierce anger to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. I'll punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity and put an end to the pride of the arrogant, lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, the earth be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. That sounds like a bad day for some people, doesn't it? Boy, I tell you, you know what? This is not just talk up here. This is really coming to the earth. When the Creator himself will visit his creation, as he did in the days of Jesus Christ, he came, and Jesus preached in similar language when he said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It'll be more tolerable in the judgment, that is, on that day, for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades." Does that sound like a day of vengeance of the day of the Lord? A day of wrath and destruction from all the Almighty? Or as Obadiah says, "As you have done, it shall be done to you, and your deeds shall return upon your own head"? Indeed. So that's the bad day, the darkness of it. Although its destruction decreed overflowing with righteousness, for it's just. But how is it a good day? What is the good news that we have here? God says repeatedly throughout the scriptures of that day, like he says in Joel 2, "Yet even now, says the Lord God, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and turns away from evil. Who knows whether he'll not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him?" Do you know that God has a great blessing concerning that day? It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's the free forgiveness of everyone's sins. For God, the Holy Spirit, says in the Bible, God sent the Son, Jesus, into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he who believes in him is not condemned. Is that true? If you believe on him, you are covered in a beautiful love of God, in his light, in the forgiveness of sins. Jesus himself said, "I came that you might have a life and have it abundantly. And I lay down my life in order to bring that to you. My life as a ransom for many." God, the Father, says, "I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Turn to me, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there is no other. By myself I've sworn, from my mouth has gone forth from me a word in righteousness, which shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue swear. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who are incensed against him. But in the Lord all the offspring of Israel shall triumph and glory." You guys know Jesus Christ? In you, and on that day, you will triumph and glory in your Savior who comes to bring you the kingdom. What a beautiful day that is. For Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Then he was buried, and on the third day he was raised according to the scriptures, and that to bring us deliverance from the day of the Lord, freedom from his wrath, and to bring us into blessed peace with God our Creator, who created the world in the beginning and who is righteous and cannot abide sin. But he takes away our sins as far as the east from the west. They're gone through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Amen? Amen. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, says the Bible. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. But I say this to you that you may know that you have eternal life. For that day comes, says Malachi, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day comes to burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go forth like calves leaping from the stall. Isn't that beautiful? Joy is yours. And God wants that, listen, for everybody, for the whole world. He doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should come to him and be saved and have his life. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn to him and live. And so God speaks and proclaims to the whole world. It's joy that he's driving us to. So, for us in Christ, what are we looking forward to on that great day? Let's just look at a few things here as we conclude. Number one, the Bible says, rejoice, for it will be the last day you will ever again see the curse. Because the Bible says in Revelation 22, there shall no longer be anything accursed, but rather God's throne will be in it and the Lamb. So no more curse. You upset at looking at the curse today? You'll never see it again, God says, on the last day. On the last day, the Bible says, will be the last day you ever see pain, sickness, or hurt anymore. For there shall neither be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, but the former things have passed away. And God who sits upon the throne will say, behold, I make all things new. Oh, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? A brand new, beautiful clothing, shining a garment. It'll be the last day you ever see sickness, says the Bible, and weakness. For we're sown right now in weakness, our bodies, but we'll be raised in power, sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Beloved, we're God's children now, says John. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, what kind of body do you think Jesus has? You're going to have one like his, shining like the sun on that last day. On that last day, it will be the last day you ever see death anymore. It won't even come to mind ever again. Revelation 21 says, death shall be no more. And 1 Corinthians 15, we shall put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up in victory. For the sting of death is sin, the power of sin, the law. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you excited to get rid of death forever? It shall be so, says the Lord, on the last day. And it'll be the last day you'll ever see loneliness again, or sorrow, or tears anymore, for God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he'll guide them to springs of living water. Can you drink that cool water? Can you picture it sparkling with the sun of the light of God? And you drink it and live forever? So it shall be on the last day. And on the last day shall be the last day you ever see the old world, steeped and stained in sin like we see it now, subject to decay and darkness. For the Bible says the creation will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Peter says we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells and we live forever. Where we see God's face, his name will be upon our foreheads. Night shall be no more. We don't need any light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be our light, and we shall reign forever and ever. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. It'll be a crown that God gives to you. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So in conclusion, we have a great conclusion to look forward to, the last day. Let's encourage each other in it and keep our eyes set upon it. For the last day is really, another name for it is, the first day of a beautiful forever with God, with each other, in love, in life, in brilliance of God's glory and joy forevermore. And he who testifies to these things, Jesus, says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.